Travis Kelce Appreciation Day on Fesco and Dusty is on Thursday, August 7th, right here on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, KFNC FM and AM HD1 and HD2, Kansas City in Odyssey Sports Station.
And welcome in to After Hours, Jay Binkley, and as always, longtime friend Julio Sanchez. What's going on this evening, Julio?
Oh, you know, just enjoying the beautiful weather out. You know?
Are you?
Yeah, I am actually.
You think this is beautiful?
I'll take it over the extremely hot weather we've had recently. So yeah.
You know, thank you. I will too.
I'm genuinely loving this.
It cools things down, doesn't it?
It does. I'm liking it.
I don't mind it either.
You know what it feels like? It almost feels like a little bit more football weather. We're slowly getting there.
You know
so
what?
I'll take it.
We are getting there. And with training camp going, I know you do a lot of stuff with the Chiefs during the season. And you've got to be feeling at this point.
I'm excited.
Like, what are the emotions that go through you when you know that training camp started?
I'm amped, man. I think everyone is amped. I mean, for just anything football, NFL, I'm excited for. But we're here, man. It's officially here.
What is today? The 24th, isn't it? 24th?
That's correct.
A month from today, Dublin, Ireland. We've got Farmageddon in Dublin, Ireland. We've got K-State and Iowa State on the 23rd. Week zero in college football. Oh, Jackson, my man Jackson Ogden's here as well that work with Julio, and he'll be here in tonight with us as well. And always good to talk to you guys, especially talking some football. Jackson, love that. But so, Julio, you got have you gone to St. Joe anytime?
I think I'm going to try and make it out maybe for a Saturday or something like that at some point.
There's not many.
I know.
There's not many. They've got
they're always packed.
They're off this Saturday.
Yeah.
And they play Sunday. They practice Sunday. The pads come on Sunday. It's pad day.
I was going to say, it is pad day, man.
And pad day is a celebration. It's finally pad day come Sunday. You're hoping that they'd be tomorrow, but no, they're going to take tomorrow, have the off day Saturday, put the pads on, and then let things fly on Sunday. That's when people man up. That's when you find who wants to play. When you put the pads on, things change. The speed of the game changes. The contact changes. It's one thing being in shorts, and it's another thing when you put the damn pads on, man.
All right. That's right. That's when the real football players come out, right?
Yeah, there's no question about it. These guys, you talk to them, they hit more in high school, they hit more in college. The NFL is really a mental game. They get these guys a lot, in the meetings and everything, just going through everything. It's a very mental game as far as what teams are doing, the system, the offense, the defense. It's not an easy thing playing for Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo. That's why Andy was so excited to have that same group of receivers come back this year. Yeah, he had to sprinkle in Jalen Royals, get him up to speed. But, having the same cast and character and core, he was excited because he was still putting installs in throughout the season. Now he's got them all ready to go.
Yeah, now they just have to stay healthy.
Oh, but anyway, I was saying about Chiefs camp. So it's just Sunday this week. The following week is Saturday and Sunday. And then the following weekend, it's either Saturday or Sunday. I can't remember which day it is. Which day is that off day? I know it's one of them.
Yeah,
but there's only three weekend practices. That's it.
We'll look at the weather. We'll gauge and we'll make a commitment one way or another.
There's
we'll
one there. Thing is for certain is it's always raining in St. Joe. I don't think I've ever been up there a year where they haven't moved practice indoor to the indoor facility, which is a great facility, by the way. Missouri Western, man, they are hooking you up.
Wait, are you gonna be there? You going at all?
Yeah, I'll be up there. I'm not sure which day and stuff. It's not what I used to. I used to just live up there, man.
I know you did.
Well, I didn't live in St. Joe.
Pitch a tent.
Well, I did go to training camp. Well, we stayed up there, man. I remember times and days we'd stay in the, we'd stay up there in St. Joe, go to practice every day and different
week
times,
of it.
Man.
Yeah.
Romeo would have practices in the afternoon. Thank God for Andy Reid that would move practices till the morning, when it's actually cooler. Andy Reid really helped that out, getting practices done in the morning. People still found their way up those minivans from Johnson County, still going strong up to St. Joe.
I mean, it's a good way to do it and a smart way to do it,
But
carpool action.
I always recommend people go up there, though. I always recommend training camp. Training camp is one of those. It's one of those it's one of those hidden gems that won't cost you much money to do it. You know, going up there and doing it. I love it being in St. Joe. I remember the days it was a jewel. You drive down to Liberty, be a jewel. There was a River Falls, Wisconsin. I went up to River Falls as well. I loved it up there as
I loved the River Falls. Yeah.
Did you go up there?
I did. I did that a couple times. That was a fun road trip.
Yeah, I went up there with Dad a few times.
Beautiful weather.
Younger. Yeah. It's a cheese league, too, because at that point, you know, the Vikings were practicing at Mankato State at that point. And then there was the Cheese League with Wisconsin, or the Saints were up there in La Crosse. The Bears were up there. They weren't far. Then, of course, you had the Packers, but you had, you know, pick your poison for weekend practice. I never forget going up there when, like, Randy Moss and company was with the Vikings, you know, and they were squared off against the Chiefs.
Yeah, that would have been a good one.
That was fun. It was fun. But I digress. Training camp is a great time. And it always does rain. Like, I know our weekend shows up there. Like, I don't think I've ever done one where it hasn't rained. Of course, we got that tent down there and everything else, but it's always been raining. It was raining today, but it was after practice. Like, they got it in the morning. They got day three in. Now it's just time to put those pads on.
I want to see somebody hit someone else.
Pad day is an exciting thing.
I want to see someone get hit.
And they were doing the one-on-one drills today and stuff, and you see that. You saw some video of, you know, Josh Simmons going at it, and, you know, I think with Omenihu and stuff, they were doing things. But, again, it's one thing in shorts, and it's another thing when you put the pads on. Like some of these wide receiver – even though Worthy's, like, wearing
– especially with wide receivers.
Yeah, but Worthy's, you know, in game gear. I mean, he's ready to roll. I mean, I like that. I like seeing Xavier do that. But, yeah, you put the pads on, the speed changes, man. That's one thing these rookies have to get used to, because the game, the NFL speed is just different. Like, it is just different. Even when if they didn't go to the Big Ten or SEC, they came out of Mac, whatever, it didn't matter. You're in the NFL, and you're a veteran, you're scratching for your check. It's a different speed, man. And just like we had Cal's football coach on during the draft, said two types of players. Those that like football and those that like being a football player. Because there's a difference. Because if you like football, you don't have to worry about these guys retiring at 29, 30 because they like the game. They like learning how to get better at the game. Like Mahomes. That's a dude that likes football. And then there's, quote, guys that like being a football player, meaning you like the lifestyle, you like the money it brings, you like, you know, everything else that comes along with being a football player. But two types of players. Two types. So you would be the type that likes football, Julio. I think Jackson would be the type that likes football.
I think so, you know? I like to think so. Well, we're committed around here.
Next Thursday is the first Hall of Fame game, I believe.
That's right.
So NFL action on July 31st. So, but that game sucks.
I was going to say, as much as I like football, stock in that.
Well, here's the thing: it's the fourth preseason game, and the way they've changed things up now, because I mean, it was always teams that got in it had a fifth preseason game, like they got a fifth one instead of four, and now that all the rest of them have three. It's now the fourth. So they have four. So two teams have four. But they don't.
That's all the practice squad. Back.
It is.
Third string. Like,
it is. It's like a second, third, and fourth quarter of other preseason games. It is totally like that. And, you know, one year they even canceled it because the turf was sticking to the guy's shoes when Tom Benson bought it and brought it up there. But the Chargers and Lions on NBC and Peacock.
It's still
7
football,
o'clock.
Though, you know?
Yeah, it
it's
is. Still football. It's still football. Chargers, Lions next Thursday. You want to see the Chargers, see what they got going, but you're probably not going to see Herbert. You're not going to see Hampton. You're going to see...
Well, you see him holding the clipboard.
You're definitely not going to see Najee Harris. You still get that firework issue.
It's too soon, Bank.
That's why he's out.
Yeah, no, 100%.
I mean,
it's not too soon.
That's just what happened.
You think he wears an eye patch?
I don't know. I don't know if he'll even be there. I doubt he's there. I digress. You been checking out the Royals?
Here or there, you know, it's trade season. So, you know, you got to keep at least tips on it.
What's six games away from that July 31st trade deadline. So again, that's a big deal.
Three games
on
under 500
as well. You know. But here's the thing about it. Since the All-Star break, they've hit 12 home runs. Yeah. I mean, it's two
picked
series,
up, the offense picked
two
up.
Series, 12 home runs. They had 4 2-run home runs yesterday that tied a franchise record for one day.
That Cubs series was phenomenal, I will say.
The Cubs came in with the league's best record, and the Royals beat them 2 out of 3. And in two of those three games, they spanked them, man. Now, that middle game, when old Rich Hill was out there, Rich pitched well for 45-year-old. He did. But when old Dick Mountain was out there, they got hammered 6-0.
It's well put.
That's his nickname.
But you had a baseball reference.
That's his nickname. Matter of fact, that Players Weekend, when they could put any name on the back of their jerseys, he was D. Period Mountain on the back of his jersey when he pitched.
Not? I mean, that's an epic name.
But he embraces it.
He should.
Yeah, and I hope Royals fans will get their jerseys D. Mountain and for Rich Hill.
I mean, you got to put the full D, though, you know?
Well, you could. You can do whatever you want. Personalize your – if they'll do
it. If you're going to do it, just do the whole thing, you know?
If they'll do it. But regardless, they're hitting well. Sal Perez is killing the ball right now.
Hot right now.
His last 13 games, he's got 9 home runs. He's got 19 ribs. He's got – no, 19 hits, excuse me. 13 ribs, 19 hits in the last 13 games. The dude's El Fuego. And then yesterday on Vern's show, someone called in and wanted to trade him. It's like that guy – here's the one thing about trading El Capitan, which I would say no, you don't do that, or extending.
99% of halfway knowledgeable baseball enthusiasts would say that's crazy.
Here's the one thing about him.
Yeah, he is Kansas City baseball.
He is, and he'll have his number retired, and he'll have a statue. And I think it should be an ever-flowing Gatorade bucket, to be honest with you, water, so kids can stick their heads under it when it's 100 degrees.
More Saudi Splash, man? No way.
Or fans or whatever wants to do it. But he'll have a statue at the new ballpark. He will. Say Salvador Perez. It'll be his. I mean, he's the last bastion, the last remnant of that 2015 team. You still have, because everybody else is gone, man. Hosmer's doing podcasts now with Moose.
Gone for a long time.
That's a very good podcast, by the way. Digging Deep, they do a pretty good job. But everybody's gone, but Perez has been destroying things. And now Vinny is red hot as well. It's like Ned Yost said, you need three guys. Bobby Witts, well, hopefully he's back in the lineup. He took a day off yesterday and then just DH'd the day before. Hopefully he's ready. Because this is a big series. It's Cleveland. There's a lot of things on the line. Not only is Cleveland now past them in the division, they've been seesawing. Cleveland was behind them. The Royals were in second place. Then they fell back. And again, I think Cleveland's really a paper facade. I think they're going to be hammered by trades when it's all said and done. But they sit above the Royals right now because they have played the Royals have played 2 more games than them. But they're 1 win behind Cleveland. But anyway, a big weekend series can change all that. I think it's big because I think so because you look at the series with Cleveland, and if this team continues to hit. And you don't have those 6-0 games sprinkled in like they did when Dick Mountain was pitching. If you don't have those type of games and you kind of reel it in, and all of a sudden you have hope. Because this team still hopes, man. They're still saying all the right things. They are. They're still saying all the right things.
I know, but all that said, they're still 3 games under .500.
Well, they are.
So even if best case scenario, they sweep, you're still looking at a .500 baseball team.
I get it, but here's the thing. With the third wild card, everybody's in it. Well, except for the very bottom, like the A's, you know, the White Sox, teams like that, not in it.
Yeah, but again, are we in this business to just get by and just scrape by getting into the playoffs, or do we want to build a team that has an actual chance?
Well, Detroit's lucky they built up that nice cushion. They're 1-9 in the last 10 games. I mean,
they're just cruise control right now.
Exactly. They built up a huge lead, so they did what they needed to do. But everybody's conceivably in it. Like the Royals sit 4 games out of the wild card. And the third wild card is actually important. Texan has asked me, does the wild card matter? 2 years ago, the Rangers and the Diamondbacks were both wild card teams. The Diamondbacks were the third wild card in the National League. The Rangers were the second wild card. Just 1 game removed from being the third wild card. So it does matter, and you're sitting there and you're going, man, put a good weekend series against Cleveland going on, see what happens. Obviously, that losing 2 out of 3 to the Marlins sucked. It did.
It's not ideal.
But they reel you back in. And then that Cubs series, man, they love Wrigley, man.
I know, but for every 10-run game, there's 3 or 4 1-2-run games. I mean, again, it's just the consistency.
I do like what Vern said. Our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, was on yesterday with Carrington. This is what he said about that package. People are talking about Lugo a lot. Lugo and Duran of Boston. What would you do? Because Boston's got 3 younger outfielders, you know, that they're willing to part ways, even though they're right in it. They have a wild card right now. But this is what Vern said about that, and I agree with him.
All for it. Yeah, I'd trade Blake Mitchell, Ramon Ramirez, link him up with Seth Lugo. I'd do that for Jaron Duran. No question about it. You look at his numbers for the past 3 seasons. I know his offense is down slightly this year, but he's still better than a league average hitter. He's an electric factory that you could plug at the top of your lineup. And the Duran, Bobby, Michael 1-2-3. Not many ball clubs outside of Los Angeles are able to bring that type of dynamic five-tool talent at you in the 1-2 spots in the lineup. So, I would do that. And again, his numbers might be down slightly this season, but there's also been quite a bit going on in Boston that could easily, maybe not take his attention away from what matters most, but could be a distraction, right? Knowing that all of a sudden I go from the All-Star Game MVP and one of the faces of this Boston franchise to a guy that's expendable, I can understand a slight regression this season from the outstanding five-tool talent that is Jarren Duran. I'd be all about that.
I'm 100% with Vern on that one. 100% with him on this. But he did say this, Vern, the perspective of J.G. Piccolo, the Royals GM, and how he should be thinking about Lugo going forward. I'll tell you this much. The players were all singing his praises. Like, they don't want him leaving. They don't. They said, we need to get our act together so we can keep Lugo. Like, we want to be able to keep this guy around. But this is Vern's perspective on how maybe J.J. Piccolo should look at Lugo.
That's how I'm judging things if I'm J.J. Piccolo. First of all, I want other general managers. I want other organizations to think that I believe in this team still. Because if you call me to prize Seth Lugo away from this ball club, you're also trying to get me to admit to both my owner and the fans that we're done. Because as everyone can clearly see, if you take Seth Lugo from this team with Michael Lorenzen on the shelf and Cole Reagans on the shelf, it's over. This team can't recover from it. They might be able to flirt with 500, possibly, but even that likely not going to happen. So if you trade Seth Lugo, you're waving the white flag on the season. So if I'm J.J. Piccolo, I want other general managers to know that coming in. If you come at me trying to get Seth Lugo, you better come correct with something that can help this team, maybe not vie for a 500 record this season, but someone that can help this team win the division next year.
See, I'm with him on that. I think it is waving the white flag when you do that, just because of Reagan's injury and Lorenzen's stuff. You're waving the white flag, but you better get something in return. Because I'll say this much, just a Lugo deal, unless you're throwing a prospect, like a Blake Mitchell, somebody like that, you're not getting anybody for the future. Because teams typically don't part ways unless they're desperate for starting pitching, unless they're really desperate.
Depends on how the market for that goes. One.
The market does dictate it, but in essence, you'd only be getting Lugo for 2 months, August and September. So typically, you don't get something that can help you in 27, 28, 29, that type of thing, unless you package something else. So we'll see what happens. Yep. Our phone number, 913-586-7965, 913-586-7965. That's the phone number, also the J Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Talk about Chiefs camp, day three. Creed Humphrey had some interesting to say about some of his fellow linemen. Next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Welcome back, Jay Binkley. After Hours, Julio Sanchez producing the operation. Hey, Julio, last night we got into discussion. The text line took off. Text line was on fire last night, man. They were on fire.
Do tell.
It wasn't about the Chiefs in training camp.
All right.
What about the Royals? It was about beer. About the Oktoberfest now hitting the shelves.
Just my heart.
It's what Jackson was listening. He was out there with us. He'll be in here later. But I was calling different liquor stores. Because I said I would. I need to find out the proper Oktoberfest and if they're out yet. If it's worth my trip going down there for it.
You're touching beer my shopping. Heart. You know, that used to be a thing for us, right?
It was.
Brewery scene, I miss it.
You mean new breweries are out since we were doing that show?
I know. That's what I'm saying. We need to ramp that back up, my man.
I know. It was fun, wasn't it?
It was. Lots of free beer, too. That helped.
All the samples, talking to the brewers, man. Good stuff. And now there's all these
new ones.
So many
good stories. So many good local people.
And that was just the beginning, man. That was like the infancy of the whole thing. And, the Border Brewing going up. And then all of a sudden, just blowing up downtown. And now you get them in Overland Park. It's everywhere. Olathe. I mean, there's breweries all over the city. Strawberry Hill. I saw the news was out there tonight or something like that. They were there.
All right.
Hopefully, they're on probably weather duty now. They're probably out in the snow home.
Unfortunately, going to be like this, I think, the rest of the night, off and on.
It will be. Just don't drive in it, or just be smart and follow somebody that's going in it, and then if they don't come out or they get submerged, then turn around.
Just don't drive like a dummy. That's all.
Yeah, just don't do that. No. You and I are both heading towards the Northland. That's both right. Heading towards the Northland. But anyway, the beer, the Oktoberfest blends are hitting the shelves.
It's getting, I'm telling you, man, it's football. It's football season.
We had a Boulevard rep last night saying they're getting ready to put the Bobs out today.
See?
Like they're going to be delivered. Bob's 47 Oktoberfest is freaking phenomenal.
Fall is right around the corner.
Sammy Adams already out. It's one liquor store I called. So it just sits there, man. They're done with the end of May. It's just sitting there. I mean, drink it.
Drink it if you got
just,
it.
Just don't let it go dry by mid-October because you still need Oktoberfest to carry it. But I make that switch at Thanksgiving time to October, to winter beers. That's what I do is I pound the Coors Light all summer long.
I'm a big fan of the darker, heavier beers.
I know so, you are. You Me know. Too. Once you get to fall, but through the summertime, it's, you know, crank out that stuff.
Other than a good sour, don't get me wrong.
A lot of Coors Light.
A good sour.
I remember Nivens, man. We'd get him like an IPAs. He didn't at first. Carrington is one of those guys. When I come on with him, yeah. we sample the beer and do Chiefs questions six pack. Got him starting to do IPAs. Like Carrington's had a bunch of samples of good stuff. And he likes it, man.
I always really like it. I transitioned him.
I always like Carrington's reactions if he likes the beer. I mean, he wasn't the biggest of beer. He would, you know, drink a few beers here and there, but just seeing his reaction if he likes the beer or not, because there's a lot he liked.
Yeah, and especially with an IPA, you know, I think it's more of an acquired taste.
Yeah, it's just like I know he always drank Boulevard and stuff like that, but you know, just trying different beers, he really did. I still wanted to do that challenge between Lawrence Breweries and Columbia Breweries. Like a blind taste test. I wanted to do Carrington and Rahm. Like, take Lawrence Brewers and Columbia Brewers and then taste which beer is better and get a score, Missouri or Kansas. I think it'd be fun.
Yeah, I'd be a judge for that, you know? I'd volunteer to be a judge for that.
I would, too. It'd be fun. Creed Humphrey, second-round pick. Highest paid center in the National Football League. Was in St. Joe. He's one of the Chiefs that was talking at the podium today. Everybody's been talking about Josh Simmons. He's still there. He's still left tackle. I get it. Juwan Taylor's out. Pads aren't on. Again, that can change things in a heartbeat. But anyway, here's Creed Humphrey on his new left tackle to this point, Josh Simmons.
Yeah, well, you could tell all OTAs, you know, it was something that he wanted. He was working nonstop on it, you know, making sure he was getting healthy as quick as he could. So that was awesome to see. And he's moving really well, playing really well right now. He seems to be fully healthy, and he's getting after it. So it's been a lot of fun to see.
I mean, that's the best news. Sounds fully healthy. Because he had limited his workouts and everything else, you know, through the process. Why slid to the end of the draft? It's why he slid to the end of the first round. I mean, he was left tackle one. But again, if he works out, this is a huge move. We did our top three Veach moves last night. Jacob took Tooney was his guy. Because when he brought him in here to solidify the line, because he's a big Patriots guy, obviously. So, that's where Drew Tooney came out of. I gave three. And, you know, Orlando Brown deal because it was Nick Bolton involved in that trade. When they moved back, Parker Enger for Chevarius Ward, that was one of them. My number one was Butker because it's Kyra Santos got hurt.
Fair.
They have Graham Gano for the Panthers at that point. They drafted Harrison. The Chiefs liked him through the draft process and from Georgia Tech. Dave Tobe and Brett Veach both liked Harrison Butker. He was just sitting on their practice squad. And of course, what happens is if you take somebody for practice squad, you got to throw them on your 53. They did, and they haven't looked back since. And think about, they wouldn't have three rings, really, without him. So that was, to me, Veach's first big move because he took over there in 2017, and that's when he brought him in. Butker's first year was Mahomes' first year, but Mahomes had that red shirt on him that first year.
Are we talking draft, too?
You know, just whatever you want. Is it Trey Smith
in there, too?
Well, I mean, you should think about it. This team is loaded with non-first-round picks. They're the difference makers. I mean, you got, well, of course, Kelsey wasn't a Veach pick, but he's the third-round pick. He's going to the Hall. Chris Jones, second-round pick, he's going to the Hall. Again, not Veach picks. But Trey Smith was, and he's a sixth-round pick, and he's the highest-paid guard in the National Football League. Creed Humphrey was a Veach pick, second-round pick, highest-paid center in the National Football League. And by the way, Harrison Butker is the highest paid kicker in the National Football League. So that's three of the four positions that are the highest paid in the NFL he drafted or he signed off a practice squad. Yeah. That, my friend, is, well, he's his own worst enemy at times, and that's a good thing, not a bad thing. You know, he gets players in the second, third round fourth round, like Legarius Sneed.
I was going to say, the Legarius Sneed thing. That
gets him in the fourth round.
And drafting him and trading him.
And then all of a sudden you're paying him like first round picks. But that's the problem, because you draft them, they're a good player. Mike Dana didn't even go to the combine. He wasn't even invited, but they draft him anyway and been a role player for the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, that's called doing things right. The other job that's not getting a lot of run, I don't think, and that's the left guard position. Because let's face it, that whole side, the left side of the line, is very important. Because if Juwan comes back and they throw him right back in at right tackle, which he should be back sooner than later, I wouldn't be shocked if he's back on Sunday when the pads come on. But Trey Smith's your right guard. Creed's your center again. Again, that's the same right side of your offensive line that did have the issues against the Eagles. But that left side. Because when you're replacing Joe Tooney at guard, keep in mind, he was first-team All-Pro. Did he make it at tackle? No. It finally showed its warts in the Super Bowl. But he did a great job in the meantime. But he's a left guard. The thing is, you better get somebody as good and or better, and that's impossible. Because Joe Tooney's about the best at his craft at left guard. Again, left guard, not left tackle. Left guard is where he dominates. So Kingsley, who is a second-round pick last year, that didn't make it a tackle. They would give him every opportunity to play left tackle, opening day starter, you name it, with Kingsley, which I think Kingsley's interesting because it kind of put the Chiefs in the situation they're in now where they had to spend a first-round pick on Josh Simmons. Like, they don't make that pick if Kingsley worked out.
Oh, yeah.
So, again, it puts you behind the eight ball because he didn't work out at left tackle. Because they could have gone, if Kingsley was a great left tackle at this point, they'd slide Caliendo in there to left guard. Wouldn't have a problem. You know, he signed Jalen Moore. I mean, he wants to be a starter, but if he was going to be here, just a backup or whatever, swing tackle, whatever you want, and or guard, whatever you want to do with him. But again, had Kingsley worked out, they could have spent their first-round pick on a different position.
Yeah, but this depending on how Josh Simmons works out, might work out even better, you know?
It could. I mean, it absolutely 100% could. But here was Creed on Kingsley's development. Keep in mind, Kingsley did play left guard against the Broncos at the end of the season or the last game of the year, but this is what he thought about Kingsley.
Yeah, he's been doing awesome. He's a great player, extremely talented, obviously, and he works really hard. So it's been really good to see how he's been working and how he's, you know, taken on the new role and has adapted to it, learning a new position and everything. And he's done a really good job with it, you know. Physical player, talented player, athletic as well. And, you know, he's picking up the playbook really well. So we're excited about him.
I'll say this about Kingsley. I did like Kingsley. I didn't like him as a first-rounder where they got him. I thought it was fine. But there was all that, you know, mocks and stuff about Kingsley going in the first round. Could the Chiefs take a stab on the first round? I never saw him as a first-round guy. He didn't have enough experience left tackle. He was a right tackle at BYU and then switched over. But I'll say this much about him. He's a mountain of a dude. He's a big dude, and he can get out, and he can move.
He's athletic.
I mean, he is athletic, and he can move.
That was his strength.
Like, being a guard, that might be his best position. You know, you set him in there, he can get out, he can move. You got the protection of your center and your left tackle there, so he can kind of concentrate on that. I think it's a better position for him. But let's not forget, Kingsley's extremely athletic and very good when he pulls. Hell, when he was a tackle, he was good at doing that stuff. I can imagine how good he's going to be a guard doing that.
Yeah, he's got some big shoes to fill, though.
No,
you know,
he's got first team all. He's got first team all pro shoes to fill. But again,
right,
this team will be as good as their left guard and left tackle. I mean, that is so important for the Chiefs. I mean, you think about this offensive line. You had Trey, Joe, and Creed. Two of those guys are first team all pros. All three of them are Pro Bowlers. All three. It's one of the few offensive lines of football that can say that. We're three of your five. The problem is
still
was left
still,
tackle.
The line was still an issue, though.
But it was. I mean, you had all this talent on the offensive line. And two of the highest paid players at their positions in the National Football League on your offensive line? Yeah, that's pretty big, man. And they just weren't getting, especially on third and one, fourth and one, you expect a bit left tackle. It just shows you how important that position is in that left side line. To me, number one thing to watch, obviously, is that left tackle position with Jalen. Because when Juwan comes back, I expect Jalen to be battling there with Josh. I expect that battle. But Caliendo a guard, Kingsley. I mean, that is ultra important what happens on the left side of the line. Give Mahomes time to throw. The Chiefs were second to last year in air yards, 25 yards or more. Give him more time to throw the ball. Extend your running game. Because you got a group of nice running backs coming back, and we'll see if there's production going forward with those. I want to talk about those running backs. We'll talk about the running back room when we come back.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez producing the operation. Just going back and forth with my friends on our message system here about my draft thoughts about certain players, Josh Simmons. So I love this. No one's been proven right or wrong yet.
Not yet.
Dude's just been in shorts. Pads haven't even come on. It's not a success or failure at this point, and I want him to succeed. If he does succeed, this is Brett Veach's biggest move, man. 100%. Everybody else passed on him. He hadn't had any live action since the Oregon game. He wasn't part of Ohio State through November, not through the playoffs in December. Didn't win a national title. Had a patellar tendon injury. And again, I wasn't in the camp to rush him either. You're going to have 5 years with him, so just take your time. Agreed. If it works out, it's 100% perfect.
Agreed.
But if you do that, you've got to give me credit for Mahomes. Because I'll tell you this much, you go back to 2017, nobody wanted him. They all wanted Deshaun Watson. I'm talking media members in this town, the fan base, you name it, because people won't acknowledge it, but Mahomes changed the complexion of this whole town. Somebody had Mahomes in every single mock draft for the Chiefs. That someone is me. So if I get players wrong here and there, hey, so be it. I'll take that one because that one will buy you time.
You're right about that. I will give you all the credit in the world.
That's why, a
lot of leeway.
But you should have seen, I did a draft show that night, and you should have seen the text
line.
That's
why you're the draft man.
You should have seen the draft. Even our friends in Buffalo, you know, they hit me on, and they were laughing about it. They wasn't going to work. You should have seen the text line.
Who's laughing now? Who's exactly. daddy now?
But you should have seen the text line. It was, oh, my God, what a huge mistake they made. He didn't win at Texas Tech. He won't win with the Chiefs. This text line was full of that. Full of that.
I got to admit, I was on the Deshaun Watson train as well. Do you remember?
Full of this. I mean, I did the post game for, 12 years or so. It was all fire Reed, fire Veach. I mean, everybody's so negative about things. But, man, when Mahomes was drafted, everybody thought that they made a mistake because the media in this town wanted Watson.
Well, mistake is relative. I think majority of people, I think, were just happy they decided to draft a quarterback in the first round.
Oh, when they moved down to 10, there was general excitement because you knew it was either probably going to be Watson or Mahomes.
Yes, one of the two. So I don't know that there was necessarily disappointment.
Not by many. I was excited to see what's going to happen with him and Hill and stuff like that. That was what I was thinking about. Literally driving here, on the way home, I was thinking, all right, Mahomes, just that arm, you know, gunning it down to Tyreek and stuff like that. Then we had to wait a year while he redshirted behind Alex Smith. And then go back and look at the stories. It was like SI or something did a story about the people, and I was mentioned in it about my criticism of Alex Smith that I wanted Mahomes. I was specifically mentioned in that with quotes I said because they were like, oh, they need to just keep Alex Smith going, keep him with the Chiefs. They need to give him a further out contract. He's your starter. He's the guy because he was getting MVP consideration. Oh, he needs to come back for the Chiefs and stuff like that. And I said, no. I said, hell no, it's Mahomes' time. After the season, it's his time. But I was quoted, this guy in Kansas City wants him to start this rookie, and stuff like that. And who's laughing now?
Time,
who's freaking laughing now?
Yeah.
I am. And the bottom line is, when that Titans game, that loss happened, and I remember everybody was, really sad. I wasn't sad. Because usually, I was there doing postgame and they lost the Colts and they blew that huge lead. The Titans one, it wasn't that devastating, to be honest with you, because it was Mahomes' time.
It was the end of an era.
It was the end of an era.
Beginning of a new era.
It's time for Mahomes. Right. It's time for Mahomes. And what's he do? He goes right out and wins MVP right after that. So, I don't know, man. Interesting stuff right there. But these running backs in training camp, because that's one thing I'd like to see. I know the running backs were a popular thing last year in the NFL with Derrick Henry going to Baltimore and doing what he did. I mean, he looks ageless. He just looks ageless in what he does. But it didn't get him a ring, did it? Didn't get him a ring. Now, Barkley move from the Giants to the Eagles, they got a ring because of that. Barkley was awesome. He was unreal. Now, he didn't have 100 yards against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl because they didn't need it. They didn't need it.
Yeah.
But Barkley helped them get there. So everybody was high on the running back train again. I'm never for team running back in the first round.
Unless it's a generational player. I mean, I think there are exceptions.
Yeah, there is. Generational type players or what can do it. But Pacheco's back and he's obviously, I don't think the Chiefs will re-sign him. I know we've seen re-signing fever with different players with the Chiefs. I don't think running back's one of those positions you re-sign.
Yeah.
And for the most part, I don't think receivers are either. And because the receiving class has been so good, the talent is so good in college football, it just keeps supplanting itself. So you don't want to spend $25 to $30 million on a receiver where you can draft one in the second round, third round, whatever, because I'm a firm believer the draft yields a lot of talent now.
Yeah, those two positions particularly, you can draft and they can come in and have an immediate impact. You know, when you're talking defensive lines, I think sometimes it takes a little bit longer to maybe get a player up and going, unless you're, you know, drafting someone in the first round. But you can draft somebody, I think, in those positions in the later rounds and still come in and have an immediate impact, for sure.
Pacheco's one of those guys. I think he's one of the biggest mysteries with the Chiefs, to be honest with you. Because I do like the guy. I mean, the guy was a seventh-round pick. He did help him win a couple rings. I mean, he did. And he did lead them in rushing that Super Bowl 57 year when they beat the Eagles. He led them. I mean, and Veach called the shot. He said, you know, six seventh-rounders can lead this league, or not lead the league, but get 1,000 yards rushing. He didn't quite get 1,000. He got 900 and something. But he was close. But my biggest thing is on third down and fourth, because he's got that, you know, image. He is a hard runner.
He's a hard runner.
The guy's a max effort dude.
Physical runner.
He's a physical runner, max effort runner, except when you get the third and one and fourth and one. And that drives me nuts. It's so much so, but the Chiefs didn't trust him at the end of games last year, especially at the end of half. It would be Kareem Hunt coming in and doing it. And then they'd stay with Kareem in the second half. I don't think Pacheco was 100% right when he came back either. I don't think he was 100%
right. He was clearly not, I don't think.
But can he get 1,000 yards? I've heard people say, you know, can he get 1,000 yards or not? Let's not forget, if you do play in all 17 games, with the Chiefs have not gotten to that point where they need 17 games because they won this division by four games last year, and they played anybody and everybody in that Denver game at the end of the year, that's only 58 yards a game. Like, 1,000 yards in the NFL for running backs with 17 games is only 58 yards a game.
That's why I think my meter for him is not getting 1,000 yards. For me, it's playing a full season, staying healthy, because that's been his problem.
Staying healthy. Because here's the thing. You know Kareem's going to get his touches. He's going to get it. And if they decide to keep Elijah Mitchell, which, don't forget, Elijah Mitchell actually got more guaranteed money than Kareem Hunt this year. But he's had injury concerns. But it is a 4-3-2 guy. They like that power. They like
a little
that speed
younger, too.
That he's got. So they like Elijah Mitchell. And then it begs the question, where's Carson Steele go? The Chiefs say, okay, we're carrying the fullback.
Does he
we're
make keeping the roster?
Fullback. Can he keep the roster? Can they keep a fullback? Because Randy Reed's usually had a fullback every year, except then he backed away from it and didn't have a fullback for a while, and that was like the first era of an era when he didn't.
Yeah.
Can you have an extra tight end be your H-back and have them kind of in that role of fullback, or still go single back set in that situation, go 12 and 13 personnel with your tight ends? And just have a one back set, because they're not going to do the tush push. You know, they're not going to do that.
No.
They do it down the field, though. I will say, like, go back and watch the Chiefs. That's the thing about the tush push, when they put that language in there, where you can't do it down the field either. Because how many, like, Pacheco runs and stuff did you see, like, Trey Smith come behind him or Creed Humphrey and push him forward or push him forward in the end zone? The Chiefs didn't exactly do the tush push, but they did do it down the field. Like, they did utilize that part. So we'll see what happens. And then Rashard Davis, I'm excited to see what he can do, because, you know, he's a former receiver at Miami, low wear and tear because that 1 year playing running back at SMU, they made the playoffs. He's a stud, man. He can do a lot of things. That's a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield. Now, one thing, can you block for Mahomes on third down if you're asked to do it? But I can envision him getting some wheel route touchdowns this year.
He's been kind of the camp darling, I think, of anyone in shorts.
He's getting
right?
some time with ones and stuff like that up there. Tyquan Thornton's looking awesome,
Tyquan
wide receiver.
As well. Those two, I would agree.
You know what? It's not a camp guy, so to speak. I guess it is a camp guy, so to speak. But actually, I think he makes the team.
Tyquan?
With the looming suspension, Rasheed Rice. Tyquan Thornton.
I think so.
He's a 4-2-8 guy.
He's their second round pick.
Yeah, let's not forget, 2 years ago, he's a second round pick.
Well, we also have another second round pick on the roster that
Sky Moore's last call. But don't forget, Tyquan Thornton did beat the 40-yard record of John Ross at 4-2-1. Worthy would have tied him, but they went back and watched film and stuff like that, and they ended up giving him a 4-2-8 instead of a 4-2-1. But for about an hour and a half, he thought he was the fastest man alive.
Well, you know, if you can't run routes correctly, all the speed in the world
working on the
help.
Routes, but the speed, the vertical, the nine routes, those coming in. He's working on those routes, but Reed and Mahomes both mentioned him. So that bodes well for Tyquan Thornton. I think he finds a way to make the team. I do. I think Tyquan Thornton, I think he keeps seven receivers. Last year they kept seven.
Six. I don't know.
The year before, I think because of the suspension, it will be seven.
Yeah, that's fair.
But the last 2 years they kept seven. They got kept five the year before that. Obviously, the massage thing once the season starts. Like a guy like Jake Brenningstool is getting a lot of run. I'm saying, Joe, I can see him on the practice squad unless you don't trust that someone won't take him and put him on their 53. That would be your big concern. Like if he shows out, because he will.
Yeah.
He'll have a preseason game where he gets 3 for 31, something like that, in that game and people will be talking about it. But anyway, coming up next, the ESPN put out a list for biggest impact signings in the National Football League. Get to that next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez. As you mentioned, Julio, the latest news, the Raiders released Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle, former first-round pick, 13th overall in the NFL draft for the Dolphins.
Any interest there?
No.
No?
The injury scares me. And in March of last year, the Raiders signed him to a 4-year deal worth $110 million, right? $84.75 million.
He got the bag.
Guaranteed. And now you see why these teams, you know, get scared about guaranteed contracts. I mean, it is the new way.
They did
it.
Void
is the new
though.
System. It's why Shamar Stewart's still unsigned with Cincinnati. He wants guarantees throughout, and he's the only guy unsigned, but. Yeah, think about this. Ian Rapoport just put out, too. Christian Wilkins made $29.2 million last year and $20.5 million this year already. $49.7 million for five freaking games. Had another $8 million on the books for 2025.
They voided the remainder of his contract. I think it was like $35.2 million.
But here's the caveat. Wilkins now has been dealing with a serious foot injury. He's on the books for 57.5 fully guaranteed. Five games, 57.5 million guaranteed.
That hurts.
You know, they say
it's a very Raiders thing to do.
Make your kid a left-handed pitcher. How about feed him and make him Christian Wilkins?
Yeah, not a bad way to make a living, huh?
Yeah, but that serious foot injury, I mean, you don't get rid of a player if you're the Raiders. That could help your team, and you're trying to rebuild and go places. Like Pete Carroll's not screwing around. At his age, he wants to win and win now. He's, what, 73 years old? He wants to win now. And if they get rid of a Christian Wilkins that they was a prize free agent last year, a first-round pick, but he's dealing with a serious foot injury, it must be pretty damn serious. You know what I'm saying?
It's not that they voided his contract because of the way he handled his rehab.
That's why they voided the contract, not necessarily
the injury. It's the way he handled the injury.
Well, but he's been dealing with that injury and hadn't exactly done what they wanted him to do. But again, this is the dangers you run into.
No, I don't want him on my team.
I don't either. But this is what happens with guys when they get guaranteed contracts. You know, it's the same thing with baseball. You wonder, like,
sometimes they
why
get lazy,
is Deshaun Watson still hanging on? Well, he's hanging on because he guaranteed money in Cleveland.
He got the bag, too.
You're going to have to get rid of him because he's not going to sell. Like, a lot of these players – they get hurt and stuff. They're not going to self-rid themselves anymore. What they're going to do is chill out, not play, and make guaranteed money from said team. Your favorite team still paying them. They're not just going to quit.
There's always a dumb team out there that's going to make a stupid move, like a Deshaun Watson move, pay him the bag when no one else in their right mind would. There's always a Cleveland Browns out there.
It's just like this past year, I knew someone would pay Sam Darnold, right? I knew someone, because he did not play well down the stretch, had a great
season. Desperate enough.
But he was going to go back to being Sam Darnold.
Correct.
But the quarterback class wasn't that great. You have Quinn Ewers that people, you know, fancied him as a first-round pick when he first got to Texas, when he skipped that, you know, last year of high school football to go to Ohio State. Then he goes to Texas and Arch Manning couldn't even get on the field over Quinn Ewers. And he goes in the seventh round, pick 231 to the Dolphins, and that's the thing, man. But quarterbacks are such a premium. I'll give the Falcons credit for getting Penix after they paid the bag to Kirk Cousins.
I agree with that move.
Well, I do too.
100%.
It looks like good foresight. It does. Foresight, because you're sitting there, you're picking in the top 10, you're taking a quarterback, you're looking at the 2025 class, and you're thinking, you know what? Michael Penix would probably be near the top of the first round in – maybe instead of Cam Ward, he would be up there. We have a chance to get him in the top 10. I know we just gave Kirk Cousins the bag. So it looks silly at that point because they've done that. Because they got Bijan after they had Tyler Allgeier already go for 1,000 yards in the NFL. Falcons are known for doing that, already drafting somebody when they have somebody in their place. But if it was true foresight, thinking, you know what, we have a top 10 chance here. Let's get Michael Penix. Even though we have Kirk Cousins that we brought in here, gave him all that money. Sometimes you got to do that stuff. Well, you got to roll the dice.
At that position, I mean, that's just something that you can't pass up, something like that. You know, if you have a chance to draft a quarterback that's an impact quarterback like that, that has the potential to be franchise changing. I mean, it'd be silly not to, in my thoughts, but I thought it was a brilliant move.
Well,
it was a good backup plan to an older guy who's coming off an injury the way that
I mean, if that was the intent, brilliant. If that was 100% the intent, brilliant. Because what they said is we didn't like this 25 classes last year. This year, quarterbacks kind of sucked. I mean, Quinn Ewers is really, early on was supposed to lead this class, and he goes in the seventh round. Cam Ward, I like Cam Ward a ton when he transferred to Washington State. That's why I really started liking Cam Ward. And then he transfers, obviously to Miami, and the rest is history is how good he was. But that class is pretty thin because I'm not sure Cam Ward goes number one overall in other classes.
Agreed.
This year's quarterback class is going to be simply ridiculous. People are like, why are Pittsburgh doing Aaron Rodgers? Well, they brought him in for 1 year. Guess where they have 12 picks next year. Guess where the draft is next year? It's in Pittsburgh. You're telling me Pittsburgh's not going to make a move in front of their home fans, drafting a quarterback in the Steel City when the draft is there and they need a quarterback for the future? That's where they're going.
Yeah, I still say they should have took a flyer on Shedeur Sanders at some point in the fourth round, fifth round.
I agree. But here's the thing about Shedeur. I mean, the guy's doing everything right.
Comes with a lot of baggage,
everything right. But you know what he is? But maybe, if you watch those games, he was tough as nails. He had a terrible offensive line and no running game, and yet he still hung in there and threw the football and developed his receivers. Like that is something going positive that he can do, because dude can't chuck the rock.
Yeah, but do you want to deal with all the extras that come with it?
You will if you win, Julio. Yeah, you will true. If you win.
100%.
You win. Anyway, come up next, though. We'll take a look at the worst to first. Yes, it does happen. Why you shouldn't look at W&L's for looking at team schedules next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.